Maybe you're looking to grow in Christ. Maybe you're looking to know if God does really exist. Well, you've come to the right place as we go to God's Word for answers for life. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is coming up next. Join us. Welcome to today's edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Each day we come to you with just a few minutes of time to spend in God's Word that we might grow in grace, that we might find ourselves encouraged in our walk with Christ. And for those who are seeking to know if God really does exist, well, the answers again are found right here in God's Word. Won't you join us for this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, as always, we are grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio, and we're continuing our study in John chapter 21, where Jesus is here restoring his disciples after they have fallen. Let me set the context a little bit again today. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospels before he went to the cross? All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Remember what Peter said? Lord, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Then there's a little statement that gets overlooked. So said all the disciples, we won't deny you. Now this was no little failure. You know how bad this went? As Jesus is being mocked on trial before the whole Sanhedrin, Peter is standing out in the courtyard over coals of fire, warming himself with the very ones who arrested and would strike Jesus and put him to death. And as Jesus is hauled off as a lamb to the slaughter, there he walks right by Peter, who has aligned himself with those wicked men. The Gospels make really clear that all of them denied Jesus. And it was an awful fall. You ever thought about what that really is? Denying Jesus. We don't know Jesus. We don't believe in Jesus. Now, Peter knows Christ has risen. He has seen Christ. And what we have before us is Peter has now said, I'm going fishing. And all of them said, we're going fishing. This is what we were by trade before Christ called us, and now we're returning to it. And I tried to get in their minds a little bit yesterday, but you have to almost feel this. The Lord is raised. But what is really troubling the disciples? It's their failure. And this failure has discouraged them. It was base, unforgivable denial in their eyes. There's no way we're still fit to do what he's called us to do. They had heard Christ's teachings. And remember how strong, sometimes you read Christ in the Gospels and he's very strong. Anyone wants to follow me? Let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow. Did they do that? Listen, if you don't hate your own life also, you can't be my disciple. They didn't hate their lives. They tried to save their lives because they didn't go with Jesus all the way to the cross, did they? They couldn't. Peter had said, I will lay down my life for you. But when the going got tough, Peter didn't do it. He didn't hate his life at all. And now you can understand a bit the feelings that they're going through. I applied it yesterday by saying this is one of the most real personal struggles every sincere Christian faces. Maybe some listening today. You know, you hate the sin of your life. Now that your eyes have been enlightened, now that you know the gospel, you see sin. And we're all prone to give in to certain sins. Certain sins get us, don't they? And for a time by grace, we're given relief. We are given victory. Then one day, we fall. And it's a bad fall. And we begin to feel the weight of everything that Christ has said. We don't deny it, you know? Here's Peter. He must have felt so unclean, so disgusted. Christ can't love me. Look at what I've done. For the sensitive heart, listen, sin brings about the worst kind of pain, the worst kind of attack. And always, always, right after we've sinned, the devil comes along and says, see, you can't be a Christian and have done that. I'm not talking about ungodly sorrow. Some people are sorry because they got caught. Some people are sorry because they get to feel the painful consequences of their actions. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of sin that makes us so overwhelmed with it because we know it's offended God. This is what David said when his sin was uncovered. And he said that God had broken his bones all day long. The guilt was too painful. It was despair. It was distress. It was the overcoming spirit of fear that made him said, I can't be one of God's and have done that. That's what Peter's going through. I give up. You ever feel that way? You feel like giving up? Some listening right now have felt that way. All of us have been there if we're true Christians. Or you will be there. This passage is going to mean a lot to you because this is where Peter is. And not only Peter, but also all of the disciples. And I believe the Lord is teaching us through this very circumstance how he views and what he thinks about his sheep who fall. Because what we have here is them pictured as moving away from kingdom work. And what happens? This is what we read in verse 3. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Now, they went out at the best time to fish, and the whole night was nothing but struggle. The text makes clear they didn't catch just a few fish. They caught absolutely nothing. You know why? Because they were going the wrong way. Even though they were sinners, and not just sinners, great sinners. This is the point I want you to really think about. God never chose them in the first place thinking they had things together. Ever think about that in your calling? God doesn't come down and say, wow, that person's doing so well. I've decided he's tried hard enough. He's lived such a good life. I'm going to call him to me. Do you know God called us while we were what? Still dead in trespasses and sins. That's an amazing truth because that means that no matter what happens down the road, if we've been called and we've been justified, it can't be taken. Here's the fact. They were his witnesses. And I believe the Lord is showing us that what so easily happens when we are discouraged by sin and failure in this life is that we tend to give up. That sin ultimately keeps us from the calling. And it's a certain kind of sin. It's the kind of sin we considered about Thomas, who refuses to believe Christ at the bare word. Christ had just said to them, that their message to the ends of the earth was one of what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins, right? Confessing sins, that's what makes the gospel so powerful. He forgives. And what happens? That message is all the more powerful when it comes from the hearts of those who have not only known it, but experienced and believed with all their heart it is for them. You know that? It's most effective with those who really believe and have experienced it. And that's what Christ is dealing with. He has called them now to believe it. He had already called them his friends. And as he would restore them, they were to let the joy of their forgiveness and the assurance of it drive them to tell others of the Lord's salvation. And isn't that just the truth for many in the kingdom? When sin discourages, and you get to the point of feeling like giving up, be on guard. Many bury their talents. Many walk away. Many are not involved. I'm not talking about everyone here being pastors and missionaries. The majority of you are not called to that. I'm talking about the basic responsibility of the Christian to have the joy of his forgiveness so real in him, so believed, that he can't help but tell others about it. That he can't help but tell others the wonderful things that Christ has done for them. Remember the demoniac when he was healed? That's the first thing the Lord said. The demoniac wanted to stay with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, go tell others the wonderful things Christ has done for you. That's the woman at the well. She brought in a city. She was an adulteress, remember? This whole scene of them catching nothing is telling us something, isn't it? They tried to go back to their previous life, and now they've caught nothing. And what that tells us is that a life that tries to pursue worldly gain and worldly comfort, if you're a true Christian, if you are refusing to tend to the calling to be his witness, the reason for which you exist, your life's not going to go well. And that's just a plain way to say it. If you are one of God's children, all of your earthly pursuits will catch you nothing. If it's devoid, if your life is devoid of the basic calling God has given you as a Christian to be His salt and light, you have a purpose here. And that's the beauty of this passage, because Christ now begins to restore them. And I want you to see how He does it this week. This is verse 4 of John 21. But when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" His question, you know, we often read that as if He's asking, "Can you feed me?" That's not what He's doing. The question goes like this. Here's Jesus. They've been out all night toiling. They didn't catch a thing. Jesus is standing on the shore. You know what His question is like? It goes like this. "How'd you do all night? Catch anything? Was your night of toiling and working hard to catch fish profitable? Have you any food?" See the exposure of the issue here in John 21. The issue is this. They had not yet submitted to the Lord's calling upon their lives. And listen, there's no running from that. You can't escape that. He asks us the same thing today. "How's it going in all your pursuits without me? Are you eating? Are you satisfied? Making the mighty American dollar? Are you full? The Canadian dollar too. Are you full? Come now, let's reason together," says the Lord. "Have you anything to eat? Have you? Are you really eating? Are you really satisfied?" What a thought that there on the shore, the Lord had prepared them a meal. I'll come back to that. In verse 6, they answer Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So we read that they cast it and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. The net so swelled with fish that it was breaking. Now keep in mind, no one recognizes Him at this point. They're totally blind to Him. And John, looking back over his life, must have been really touched by this event. Because as soon as this happened, what's the first thing he blurts out? "Therefore," this is what we read, "that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" You know what this is? I'm going to explain this tomorrow. You know what just happened? Jesus was reinstating their calling. This event had happened before in their history. This event had happened early in the ministry, right when Jesus called them. He told them to cast out their net and they drew in fish. And Jesus said in that event, "You will be fishers of men." Here they are, pictured as going back to their former occupation, their former life. All because they failed. You ever feel your sin has failed and that you're done with this Christianity thing? Careful of that. When the Lord places His calling upon you, it's irrevocable. It can't be taken back. That's the beauty of grace. That's the beauty of gospel. That's the beauty of God's sovereignty. He calls us today and He tells us, wherever we've been called, that calling is still in place upon us. We are Christians, if you're a believer. You are called to be salt and light. If you're not a believer, you're trying to go through the world, casting your nets, but ultimately you're never really satisfied. We're satisfied when we're doing the will of God, being His salt and light, telling others the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days, lindenurc.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.